Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I guess it's a good thing I prepared something about Father's Day after Dan said a Father's Day message. Would have been bad if I didn't prepare something for that. You know, I kind of like this little joke there about the skydiving. You know, what's true about skydiving, nobody's ever died from falling and skydiving. It's a sudden stop at the bottom, right? Well, I brought my sport coat, but I wasn't brave enough to wear it. It's a little warm, so I decided to not wear it this morning. So if I start to sweat, forgive me, please. I'm, it's the way it is. So we're going to talk about something for Father's Day, of course, because it is Father's Day. What I'm going to do is kind of like, well, not kind of, it's an acrostic, using the word father, which is probably not the most original idea in the world, but it works out well. And I picked a target verse that I'm going to use to spell the word out, and that's Hebrews 11:6. We can look at that real quick. I'm sure everybody probably knows it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, how do you get father out of that? Well, we'll work our way through it, and hopefully by the end when we wrap things up, you'll see where I'm going with it, or we'll have seen where I've gone with it, I hope. All right, so of course the first letter in father is F, and I picked faith, and in our verse, our target verse, of course says, but without faith, impossible to please him, of course, him being God. Our primary text this morning, and if you turn there, is to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, most everyone's familiar with this story. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah and his sacrifice, the potential sacrifice of Isaac. It's a test of Abraham's faith. One of my very favorite stories, and I think maybe one of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible. So we're going to look at, we're going to keep referring back to Genesis 22 for examples. I'm going to use Abraham kind of as an example for each one of the letters and each one of the words that I derive from those letters. So faith, I mean, I personally, when I think of faith, I think of Abraham because of the stories there, and the fact that he was the patriarch of the nation of Israel, and there's a lot of examples of his faith. I'm staying at 22. I'm going to go over to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is where he was. A little background: we know the story of his father. Terah took his family out of Ur of the Chaldees, and they settled in Haran. And it could be thought that they were supposed to go to. They're supposed to go to Canaan, and they kind of stopped there, probably got comfortable and liked the place and stayed. And well, God eventually calls Abraham to come out of there, and he wants him to go to the land of Canaan. It's going to be the land of promise. And in chapter 12 is where he calls him, and he gives him initially the promise that he makes for the nation of Israel and for the whole world. And if we look at verse 1 of chapter 12, I'll just read it. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, of course, it takes an act of faith to just take God at his word. It takes an act of faith to take anybody at their word without knowing what, it's a difficult thing to do, I think, for any of us. Abraham strikes out on faith. And, we, in our lives, we're Christians. This is primarily to Christian fathers, okay, that I'm speaking this morning. And we have instances in our lives, I've had them in mine, where our faith wavers and we make mistakes and we go down the wrong path. But Abraham is a great example because he just did what God said. He took him at his word and he struck out for the land of Canaan, for the land of promise. Our faith as fathers is an example to our children. When you think about Abraham leaving his homeland, of course, wasn't an example to Isaac because Isaac hadn't been born yet. But historically, if we read through Abraham's life, you can see that he had many examples of his faith, and what an example to his son as well. You know, and in faith, we strike out believing in God, strike out in our lives, and hopefully, prayerfully, we do that which he has for us. The path that we walk, we may know the right path to take, but there's a difference between knowing what the path is and actually walking that path. And we can only do that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him and knowing that he'll bring us through that. You know, Psalm 23, you know, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So, you know, he protects us and he cares for us. And Abraham obviously knew that. He understood that. And took God at his word and faith and struck out to the promised land. As a Christian father, we know what we're supposed to do. We know the path that we're supposed to take as a Christian husband, a Christian father, and a leader of our family. I've been up here before and I've talked about, you know, many of you know my history, you know, divorce and, you know, separation from my wife and my kids. And, you know, there's paths we take that we err, you know. If we don't follow the things that the Lord has for us to do as Christian fathers, sometimes things are taken away from us. You know, and sometimes our family is wrested from us, and that's an unfortunate thing. And I'm here to tell you that to believe, you know, God at his word. You know, there's things that aren't, decisions that we make that might not be popular with our friends, our worldly friends, or our people at work, but there's things that we need to do as Christian fathers and husbands that are the correct choice. So that's faith. Faith is the first letter in our acrostic for the word father. Faith is kind of the send-off point, the linchpin of the whole talk this morning. We talked about faith a little bit in our song service. We heard that. We know that it's the basis of all that we believe. This is our faith. So we'll get to the letter A. The letter A. Now, in our target verse of Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." The next phrase is, "He that cometh to God." Well, that's an action. So I picked the word action for the letter A. I said our text was Genesis 22. I haven't even gotten there yet, but I will. Just bear with me. At the beginning, when I read about Abraham being called out of Ur of the Chaldees, if you were to look at chapter 12, verse 4, it says the very next thing, it says, "So Abraham departed." If we go through the next 9 verses, I counted them. There's probably, I think I counted right, there's about 11 or so instances of action. Abraham departed. He took, he went, he passed, he pitched, he removed, he builded, he called, he journeyed. Action. You know, the Bible tells us faith without works is dead. So we, building on faith, our next thing is action. Action springs out of faith. Abraham acted on his faith in God. So let's look at Genesis 22. I'm going to read this because I think it's important to read it. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. There's faith. Sorry, backtracking a bit, but I think I have to. The fact that God told him right out that he was going to send him to sacrifice his son. Verse 3, here's the action. Abraham rose up early in the morning. There's a whole lot of action in this verse. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, he took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Action. Abraham took God at his word, and he got up early in the morning, and he chopped the wood, and he got everything prepared, and they struck off for the mountains of Moriah, knowing that there's a good chance, very possibly, that he was going to have to sacrifice his own son. The son he waited for, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, or when they finally left Haran, he was 75 years old already. And he was, I think, around 100 years old when he had Isaac. So he waited 25 years from the time they struck out for the land of Canaan to this time, and now God calls him to sacrifice his only son. But he does it. He goes, takes action, prepares everything, and off they go. As Christian fathers, what kind of actions do we take? What do we do? Are we examples? Are we good examples to our children, to our wives? Are we good leaders of our homes, in our community, in our church, here at the assembly? Do we monitor the actions and activities of our children? Do we know where they are, what they're doing? Do we come here? How many meetings do we miss? You know, I mean, I know there's always instances where we miss meetings. I do myself. But, you know, I mean, do we feel like we belong here? Do we want to be here? Do we get our family here? I know a lot of times, I remember when we were kids, Mom and Dad insisted that we go to church, and boy, you know, this young teenage boy, that's not very cool to have to go to church. You know, but as fathers, we have a duty to our children to bring them here, to bring them under the sound of the gospel. You know, in some churches in Reformed theology, they think that babies are, you know, are brought into salvation because their parents are saved. You know, well, we know that's not true. Everyone is responsible for their own sin. And as fathers, we are responsible to, as Christian fathers, we're responsible to bring our children under the sound of the gospel. How about reading His Word? Does our family see us reading this on a daily basis? I think it's a good idea. Maybe we should read it together. I know some families do that. That's a good thing too. Actions. Actions that lead to benefit for our family from a Christian standpoint. There's negative actions too, right? Just anger. Get aggravated with things. Let things get to you. Fly off the handle at your wife. Yell at the kids. You know, maybe because you had a bad day at work. You know, how about questionable behavior? You know, we were talking in the Bible study yesterday about if you're sitting watching television, you're flicking through channels, and, you know, and you might come across something that you probably shouldn't really be watching, you know. What do you do? You know, you watch it? Well, nobody's going to see it, you know. Maybe I'll just see what it is for a few minutes. You know. And somebody brought up the point, maybe we shouldn't even be watching television at all. You know, maybe we shouldn't. But there's things that we do, you know, we make a decision like that to watch a program. We don't know that our, you know, five-year-old is standing at the edge of the door looking to see what Dad's doing, you know. It's very important that we watch what our actions are. Put our energies into the things that we should. The things that count for eternity. after the wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to get burned up someday. How about the letter T? Trust. Now, where does trust come from in Hebrews 11:6? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Belief, trust, they're not always interchangeable. They're not exactly, I suppose, but close enough for my purposes this morning. So for T, we want to use the word trust. James chapter 2, verse 23. I'm going to read it here because I'll misquote it if I don't. If I find it, here it is. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. He trusted him. And it was accounted unto him, imputed, which means put to your account, unto him for righteousness. You know, we have our belief, our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to trust him, trusted him for our salvation as Christian fathers, correct? Let's look at Genesis again, back our primary text here. And I read up through verse 3. It says, verse 4, it says, on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5 is the one I want you to notice, and I love this verse. And it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Which I believe is the first mention of worship in the Bible, by the way. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. What does that mean? Why did I pick that verse out? Because Abraham trusted God that somehow he was going to bring Isaac back with him. He told his young men, he says, you wait here. The lad and I are going to go up into the mountains and worship, and we're going to come back. No questioning, no wishy-washiness on Abraham's part. You know, let me put a parenthesis in there. That's not to say that Abraham was faultless his whole life. You know, he did a few things that weren't correct, like we all do. You know, he's still human. But he took God at his word. Took him at his word. And he says where is that in Hebrews? I think it's earlier in chapter 11. Let me find it. Later. In Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall all thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Well, Abraham's faith was such, his trust in God was such, that he felt that even if he sacrificed Isaac, that God was going to give him back to him. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to have that kind of faith. Abraham reckoned in his own mind that if God told me to go and sacrifice my son, I'm going to do it, because even if I end up plunging the knife into his chest and putting the kindling to fire to the kindling, that God is going to bring him back to me somehow. That's incredible. Incredible faith. Incredible trust. What do we trust in as Christian fathers? Where's our trust? I mentioned wood, hay, and stubble, you know. Do we trust in that stuff? Do we trust in our earthly possessions, you know? I remember a song once said, you know, on our money it says, in God we trust. You know, the song said, in God we trust, all the rest in cash. You know, do we put our faith in material things? Do we trust in material things? You know, is it more important for us to, you know, to be driving a BMW than it is to be, you know, providing for our family, things that we might need? that our children might need. Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth were over the other day. We were talking about, got to just about things. We were talking about antiques, and Dad brought up a story from some woman that bought a little side table, and it turned out to be, you know, she bought it for like $10 in a garage sale, and it turned out to be worth like $250,000. You know, and you say, whoa, that's, you know, that's a pretty nice antique. But you know what? We talked about it, and I mentioned, you know, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. All that's going to dissolve someday. Peter tells us the earth is reserved for fire. You know, all of our works are going to be burned up. You know, so where are we putting our trust? You know, there's no eternal value in earthly things. You know, and when I mention these things, I mention to myself too, because, you know, there's things, we all have our things that we like, you know. And, you know, the little sub thing here, another word you could use for tea, and I guess it goes along with trust in a way, but father's a teacher too, you know. Mom always says Proverbs 22:6, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, don't let depart from it. What do we trust in? We trust in God's word. We trust in him. Do we trust in the things that we can put our hands on? You know, do we trust in the material things of this earth? Something to think about. Well, we got half the word done. We're at fat. The letter H. We look again at our target verse at Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Habits, H. Diligence, to me, implies repetitive. You know, you're diligent about something. It might be a little bit of a stretch to call it habitual behavior, but, or poetic license, that's what I'm using. So, what are our habits? How about Abraham's habits? Abraham's habit was to believe God at his word. Great faith. Did what he asked, took him at his word. Right? We looked at James 2:23, right? It says he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. In that verse at the end, it says he was called the friend of God. We don't make friends by one acquaintance, do we? Not very often, I wouldn't think. We don't make friends by just seeing a person once. You make a friend by earning friendship through contact, through habitual behavior, through proving that we're friends to each other. That's how you become a friend. God called Abraham his friend. You know, does God call us his friend? Can we be called God's friends as Christian fathers? Have we earned that in the things we do, in the habits we have, the things that we show our family and our friends? What kind of habits do we have as fathers? You know, I mentioned TV, and you know, there's nothing wrong particularly with television. I don't even need to pick on television, but you know, but how do we act? You know, how do we act in front of our children? How do we, you know, act in front of our wife and in front of our friends? How about our coworkers? Do our coworkers know that we're Christians? Do they know that what we believe in? You know, when one of our coworkers takes the Lord's name in vain, do we say anything? Do we just kind of cringe and shrink back and don't say anything? I have. Oh, totally admit that. Somebody used the Lord's name in vain at work, and I've gone, you know, we don't say anything, you know. It's still difficult. Why is it? Why is it difficult to call somebody on that? Because we're afraid we're going to get picked on or mocked or, you know, oh, it doesn't really mean anything. but I've done that. I can honestly say I have called people on that at work, and for the most part, you get an apology, honestly, most of the time. You know, until we establish that kind of, a habit like that, people are going to keep talking like that around us because they don't know that it bothers us, you know. Habits are, can be really good and can be really bad. You know, reading God's Word is a great habit to get into. You know, I mean, it's something that we should do. The other night we were talking about the Lord's table and Lord's Supper. The Lord's table is, we're every day at the Lord's table learning, feeding off of this. You know, if you're not spending your time habitually in God's Word, you're not getting your nourishment. You're not getting your spiritual food that you need. So what kind of habits do we have? You know, what do we spend our time doing? Letter E. Back to our target verse, Hebrews 11:6. The diligently part was kind of the end of the verse, so I had to jump a little out of order, but you'll forgive me for that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek. Diligently seek him. So I use the word explore. An explorer is a seeker, someone who's looking for something. What are we looking for? I like to go back to Hebrews 11, verse 8, 9, and 10. Hebrews 11, verse 8, 9, and 10 is Abraham again. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What was Abraham looking for? He was looking for the fulfillment of the promise that God made him. And I think Abraham probably, he probably knew that that was going to happen long after he was gone. But he still diligently sought that promise. He was called out of his home country. He was a pilgrim and a sojourner his whole life. There was times when he settled down for a while, but you know the stories. He was always traveling. God told him, travel up and down in the land. Get to know it. Explore it. Abraham was an explorer. Even though he never saw the fulfillment in this life of the promise. Genesis 22, verse 15 through 18. I kind of skipped over the part with, I recall, I might get back to that with the sacrifice, but he's already bound Isaac and he's put him on the wood and he's about to plunge the knife into his chest and here's a voice. God tells him, whoa, stop. Now I know. God says to him, now I know that you're not, you wouldn't even spare your own son for me. Believe everything I say. In verse 15 it says, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the, upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And of course we know in verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, as he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth and eventual sacrifice on the cross for us and his resurrection. So Abraham sought that. That's what he was looking for. He was exploring all his whole life, getting to know the things that God wanted him to know. I like that verse in Hebrews. He sought a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. What are we doing? What are we doing that way? What kind of explorers are we as Christian fathers? What are we looking for? We're pilgrims too, aren't we? We're only sojourners here on this earth. We're looking for the kingdom. We're looking for the call home. How about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Looking unto Jesus. Is that where our eyes are? Is that where we're looking to? Philippians 3, this was my Grandma Maitland's, one of her favorite verses, and I think it fits really well in here. You probably know what it is already. I'm going to read it because I don't want to misquote it. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what an explorer does. Always looking for the prize. Are we looking for the prize, or are our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ for our guidance, for our daily food, for our daily guidance and wisdom? That's where it needs to be. In our last letter, R. And that I've attributed to the word reward. Of course, our target verse, Hebrews 11:6, says he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think it's, as Christian fathers, there's a lot of rewards that we have in life. If we trust in God and have put our faith in him. Here's where I'm going to backtrack to Genesis again. Genesis 22. I'm going to go back to our friend Abraham here. Genesis 22, verse 10. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham's still looking, isn't he? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I would think, and that Abraham certainly considered that ram a reward. That voice behind him saying, Stay thy hand, that was a reward. He certainly didn't want to slay his own son. Verse 12, what rewards? Isaac was spared in verse 12. Verse 13, there was an offering provided. Verses 17 and 18, a promise confirmed. God reconfirmed the promise of the nation of Israel and the birth of Christ to Abraham. Abraham passed his test of faith, I would say with flying colors. Genesis 15, love this verse. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God's, Abraham's exceeding great reward. Is he our exceeding great reward? Oh, yes. We allow him to be. I like that he first... First he said, I am thy shield. course, Ephesians 6:16 was the same. Above all, take the shield of faith. We come right back around to faith. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. See our shields? We put on the shield of faith along with all the other six pieces of armor in Ephesians. Is God our exceeding great reward? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, action, must believe that he is, trust. And he's the rewarder of them that diligently, habits, do we have good habits, that seek, do we explore, are we constantly looking to him, that diligently seek him, our reward. He rewards us for our faith and for our trust in him. I know it's difficult on this earth, especially, you know, when you work out in industry, and to show that faith and to, you know, to take God at his word is difficult. But we aren't called to sacrifice our children either on faith, are we? We're only asked to believe him, to follow him, to believe in his son. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not saved. Perhaps you've never asked Christ in your heart. Perhaps you've never come to grips with the fact that you're a sinner. Right, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Well, you might as well put that all in capital letters, because it means all, everybody. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to take stock of your life and consider that you're a sinner. All have sinned. Last week, Wendell shared with us his salvation story with John 3:16. Everybody knows that. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Take the step of faith. Confess your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, maybe that's the first step for you this morning on your journey, like Abraham's journey. Maybe that's the first step for you, is to accept Christ as your Savior. Confess your sin. Acknowledge that you're lost and you need to be redeemed. Let's just close in a word of prayer.